This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:43. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're now unpacking the latest revisions that the EPF has made on this issue, which has been just percolating for a while, which is withdrawals. So this is the latest. Starting on January 2021, eligible members can access 10% of their account one savings. So for example, those with savings of 90,000 ringgit and below will be able to withdraw up to 9,000 ringgit, while members with savings of above 90,000 ringgit will have a cap set at 60,000 ringgit. There are a few conditions to this. So this only applies to members who have lost their jobs or are on unpaid leave, basically those who haven't had any contributions for 2 months. EPF members must also have a minimum saving of 4,500 ringgit in account one to be able to do this. The withdrawals also, and this is an important word and one that's come up quite a bit, they're considered an advance, so you would need to eventually repay them in full. Members can apply to do this in December. The amount will be credited starting again next year over 6 months. And it's going to be done through EPF's iSina facility. According to the Star, it replaces previous EPF measures announced in Budget 2021. So Tunku Ali Zakri Alias, who is the CEO of EPF, says that this move is meant to help people with no safety nets while also ensuring that they have enough money to retire. He also did ask members to understand that anything withdrawn, again, is an advance, and there are implications to implementing this. Here is his explanation.
Everything that we do has an implication. Everything that we do is a trade-off, right? For every amount of money that we allow access to our members, it also means less money for us to invest. For example, right? These are unprecedented times of like high quality assets with very low valuations. But when more and more money is not available for EPF, the trade-off is we're going to lose opportunity. For a lot of those other members who are also still existing contributors in EPF,
we have already activated things like asset liability management, cash flow management. So we, on a weekly basis, we are looking in terms of our cash flow, which is why these numbers that we put up, we stress tested it. At its worst, we will still be okay. Please rest assured, we have the structure in place to go and manage at all times asset liability, cash flow, and some investments. It won't be to the amount that we used to do, but there will still be some dividend implications.
Just apologies if you were wondering where the sirens were coming from. It is the clip. I do apologize for that. But going back to what was said, he also said that those who are considering the iSina should seek advice before doing so.
Do it with care. Do it with eyes open. Do it with rationality. And you need help from an unemotional or a rational and objective advisor. You don't believe EPF because we have RAS services, because you think that, you know, we are, for whatever reason, we might give you the wrong advice. Go and see AKPK, Bank Negara. Go and see SOXO. SOXO also has some advisory services, yeah? And also microcredit, Amanah India Malaysia. So get advice first. Don't do things without your eyes open.
That was EPF's CEO, Tunku Ali Zakri Alias, talking about the ability for some members, I think it's up to 2 million people, to access 10% of their account one savings. This is, again, going to kick off January next year. And when this was announced yesterday, I think that there was a lot of confusion. People were wondering what that word advance meant, whether this was a good move, whether it's for EPF or for yourself if you are in need of it. So if you have questions on this, now is the time to send them our way. That number is 7732900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be crossing over now to Lynnett Lee, CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia. Lynnett, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Lynn. And this is a very interesting topic.
Yeah, so we really wanted to get into it with you. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, how much will it do to help those who are financially impacted at the moment?
Well, I've been having sleepless nights thinking about people who have lost their jobs and the middle income group who have pay cuts in whatever form, because I know they're stretched to make ends meet and put food on the table. I think it's a good reprieve for this group of people because the government borrowing money to bail people out For short-term measure, it's okay. But if it's prolonged, there will be a negative long-term effect on the country. So if you ask me, I think the ICNR is timely. And it also reflects on FM's theme for World Financial Planning Day 2020, which is Live Well and Plan Your Tomorrow. So I would like to say kudos to EPF and its CEO, Tunku Ali Zakri, for thinking out how best to get money out to people who need it now.
I just wanted to ask something that I feel... the word itself is somewhat confusing. People keep bringing it up. So I want to say that the EPF CEO, and we said this earlier, has emphasized repeatedly this is going to be an advance, not a withdrawal. So firstly, can you take us through that? What would that mean?
Okay, good. And to Tunku Ali Zakri's earlier snippet, he did say that when you do this, you actually taking a part of your retirement future fund. And what does it translate to? Financial planners will tell you it means that you may need to work longer years if you don't have enough for retirement because of this initiative. Or you may need to spend less during your retirement because you have less available funds in your retirement. And the worst case scenario is you will have to do both, which is work longer years and spend less money. And this is provided that you have good health. If your health is failing, then you will fall back onto the government, social welfare again. So it can be a vicious circle. And that is why they say it's an advance. And when you are able to contribute again, they will help you to put back the money in terms of whatever contribution that you make, rather than splitting it 70-30 between account 1 and 2, they will put 100% back into account 1. And until such time that the advance that you have taken, which is for only 6 months, is already paid back, then only they will revert back. So it's a chicken and egg situation. It's not the best of the best solution. But I think when people have no money and no food on the table, this is as good as it gets.
Could you also maybe take us through what the implications are of having money repaid to account one? So assuming, you know, you do get back on your feet, you get a job, and that EPF contribution goes to account one and not to account two, what are some potential issues with that?
Well, for one thing, if you want to buy a property and you're depending on the account two, then you don't have that luxury. But more crucial will be paying medical for the family. And I know that many people who are in the sandwich generation, many of their parents don't have insurance. So they actually depend on the children to pay for their medical bills. And if you are depending on that, then you'll find that there's nothing there for you to take off. So that is why I would like to stress that if you have your insurance policy, please keep it alive. Don't cash it out. Don't close it off, but continue to pay. And if part of the expenses that you need to pay when you take out your EPF money, please make sure it goes into your insurance because that's very important. Then, of course, there is also EPF you can also take out for your studies. However, that is not so bad because there are many reskilling initiatives which are free, so you can still take care of that. So the only major thing I can think of for those people who without insurance or takaful, the account tool can be quite crucial for them. And for buying house, well, you can see home ownership campaign and say it's a good time, but if you don't have the money, I guess you need to forego that part of it. It's a zero-sum game, personal finances.
And so what are some struggles you think people might face in terms of trying to repay the advance if they do opt to take it?
Well, for those who can put it back, it's good. But there are some people who are going to be retiring in a year or two, so it will impact them in terms of the expenses when they retire. It may also take people who have difficulty looking for a job a longer time to pay back, especially if the MTO is extended. I know there's a lot of hoo-ha about the coming vaccine and all that. But as the earlier program said that it's not so fast that it's going to hit the market, and we don't know what is the effect because this is something that's new. So if it prolongs, you're just digging more and more into retirement money. So, yeah, these are things that one needs to think about. So it goes back to what I said earlier. You may need to work longer. Keep yourself healthy, work longer, and learn to spend less, when you're in retirement.
So even EPF is saying that this should be the very, very last option for contributors. What other avenues would you advise people look into first before opting for this?
Well, there is, for those who are working and contributing to EIS, I think first off, you need to head up to SOXO and talk to them about your employee insurance scheme. You should look into that first. And then at the same time, I also realized that a lot of banks are offering help in terms of people who are having difficulties with their loan. And they should also look into that as well. And of course, they should also explore other alternatives. I know that some companies, which are still a going concern, but they also have kept their headcount, they may be looking out for people to outsource some of their work. These are some areas they may want to look at. So if you have the skill, I think one should look at these areas. My main concern is actually for those who have very low skills and very low income and they've lost their job. So I suppose these are the people who will need to look at social welfare to help them out.
So there's a statement that I've been hearing. I've read it and it's the main source of confusion here. So I just wanted to read it to you or put it to you and then we can talk about it, right? So one item of criticism has been that this whole plan feels as if we're simply borrowing money from our future selves. So, why is there pressure to repay? Could you maybe help us debunk this mindset and reframe what this advance would mean for us financially?
Well, I think it's important that you need to repay if you can, so that because if you look at moving forward, the one thing a lot of people forget is things are getting, the price will go up, inflation. So if you do not repay whatever you have today, if you look at it in the future, the amount is going to be lower because EPF have less money to invest. So dividends may also be impacted. If dividends are impacted, the growth of your EPF account will also be affected likewise. So that is why I think it's very important. But then on the other hand, you still need to take this money out is because if you cannot survive today, as they say, that tiada esok bagi mula. So, yeah, if one must be able to get through this stage in life and at the same time keep an eye on tomorrow. So I would say that I think a good move to help people to repay back that account one. And I'm talking about account one, I don't think it is that difficult if you are having a job in future. It's because they are not asking you to stretch that. They are helping you to cut down on your account two and put it into account one first. Until such time you have already paid back, then only you split back into account one and two.
And in closing, Leonard, we just have a couple of minutes left. Tunku Ali Zakri actually also emphasised that people should seek financial advice before deciding to opt for this. Mm-hmm. And since we have you on the line, I wanted to know, why do you also think perhaps that it's a good idea for people to do so?
Well, if you understand the psychology of money, there are many people who are looking forward to taking out their account one to put into investments. They don't really need the money, but they are looking at the opportunity to take out this money to take up so that they can put into cheap stocks, good stocks. At the same time, there's also a temptation by other groups of people to splurge this money on wants instead of needs because money is made available to them now. So on this note, this is where I also feel that the retirement advisory services, the AKPK counsellors, and also the licensed financial planners' job is to guide these contributors so that the money that they take out is used where it is needed and to plan their tomorrow for a better future. So, and I believe tomorrow there'll be more details in the EPF website on the requirements for withdrawal. I would like to wish those people who are affected all the very best. Please take very good care of your money and stay safe. Thank you, Lynn.
Lynette, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Lynette Lee, CEO of the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia, talking to us about, again, the new announcement that has been made from the EPF in terms of what you can do in terms of withdrawals. So eligible members will be able to access 10% of their account one savings starting next year. If you have any thoughts or questions, we'll do our best to clarify them for you. So send them our way. That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.